Well, just as we are celebrating our freedom that we have as a country, and because of that freedom, we have benefits of being citizens of the United States of America. God also has paid for our freedom spiritually, and because of that, we have benefits. And God has delivered us from sin, death, and hell, and because of that, Jesus has lifted me from that.
Out of the depths to the glory above, I have been lifted in wonderful love. From every fetter my spirit is free, for Jesus has lifted me. Jesus has lifted me. Jesus has lifted me. Out of the night into glorious light, for Jesus has lifted me. Out of the world into heavenly rest, into the land of the ransomed and blessed. There in the glory with him I shall be, for Jesus has lifted me. Jesus has lifted me. Jesus has lifted me. Out of the night into glorious light, yes, Jesus has lifted me. Out of myself into him I adore, there to abide in his love evermore. Through endless ages his glory to see, my Jesus has lifted me. Jesus has lifted me. Jesus has lifted me. Out of the night into glorious light, yes, Jesus has lifted me.
Amen. Thank you, guys. We praise the Lord. He's lifted us. And boy, I'm guessing that those people that left Egypt that day could have sung a song just like that. He had lifted them. They didn't quite understand what Jesus would do, but certainly they had felt deliverance. So grateful that we have our freedom. You know, today, I say today, yesterday was a day of many celebrations. People celebrate. You know, it's kind of interesting that we in America, but I would say more than just America, we in the world, people look for, I don't want to even use the word excuse, but people look for anything to celebrate, don't they? Just think through that just a little bit. I mean, any reason to celebrate, any reason to have a party, any reason to eat food, right? I mean, people are just thinking of reasons to celebrate. That people celebrate on birthdays, okay? We celebrate a time when a person was born. We celebrate anniversaries and a time to remember a wedding. We celebrate weddings and two people coming together. We celebrate graduations. And of course, at each one of these things, we have food and we celebrate with activity. People celebrate when they have achieved accomplishments and things. People celebrate when people arrive for different things. People celebrate when people are going away. People celebrate when there are promotions. People celebrate for all sorts of events, every sort of holiday that can be imagined. People find reasons and ways to celebrate. Isn't it true that we find reasons to celebrate? But I asked the question this morning, is there a really good reason to celebrate? Is there a reason to celebrate even biblically? Is this just something that we have made up and we find an excuse to get together with friends, an excuse to eat good food, excuse to take a day off, an excuse to have a picnic and to be outside? Is it just an excuse or is there good biblical reasons to do it? Well, we're in Exodus chapter 12 this morning, and so hopefully you're still there. Let me give you the background to Exodus chapter 12. Many of you know the background to Exodus chapter 12. Remember, God's people, God's chosen people, had been blessed by so many things. We go back to Abraham and God's blessing, his blessing of promise, and Isaac and Jacob. And then through Jacob, we have the 12 sons representing the 12 tribes, and Joseph. And God certainly blessed Joseph, didn't he? God blessed all of Israel. God blessed Joseph in the land of Egypt, and they were given during a time of famine so much. And Jacob brought his family from the land of Canaan into the land of Goshen there in Egypt, and he was able to settle. And for many, many, many years, they had prosperity, provision, and everything that they needed until, of course, Joseph died, and another Pharaoh came onto the scene. They saw this group of people growing tremendously, maybe even threatening to overcome them. And so they did something. They put them into bondage, into slavery, and they were in bondage for many, many years, many hundreds of years. And they were in this bondage until finally God delivered the people through the person of Moses and, of course, Aaron as well. Moses and Aaron go into the land. You remember the story of the Exodus. In the first 11 chapters of Exodus, we read about this bondage. We read about God's commissioning. In Exodus chapter, I think 3 it is, where God commissions Moses there to go back with his brother to Egypt to deliver these people out. And of course, Moses giving all kinds of excuses. This would be something that would be scary. This would be something that was difficult. This would be something that would be above his ability. He could not do it. He would need God to go with him. He would need Jehovah to go with him and do this very scary thing. And so with God's help, Moses and Aaron went down into Egypt and then tried with many efforts to deliver God's people out of Egypt. And of course, you know that there were many plagues upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and to no avail. It wasn't working. It didn't happen until the very end, when God said that he was going to smite the firstborn of all the homes that did not follow his command. Didn't matter who they were, if they would not follow God's command, then he would smite them, the firstborn in each home. And we just kind of read about that, and in great detail in Exodus chapter 12, we read the story about how God's people were protected as they obeyed. Anyone that would obey would be protected, and then of course they would be delivered. At the end of this, God instituted something called the Passover, in which these people would celebrate. They would celebrate God's provision. And I don't know about you, but did you notice the detail in which God gave and prescribed for them to celebrate? Was this celebration something that was godly? Was this celebration something that God wanted them yet demanded them to do? The answer is yes. He wanted these people to acknowledge their deliverance, and he wanted them to celebrate. And God's people still to this day, when I say God's people, we're talking about the nation of Israel, the Jewish people today. I don't know if they truly understand what they are celebrating, but they are still celebrating the Passover to this very day. Now, you say, Pastor Madrid, we are not Israel, and you are right. We are not Israel, and we don't necessarily celebrate Passover for ourselves. Although, isn't Passover a wonderful time for us to look back and see what God did for his people? Boy, what a tremendous thing that we look back and say, wow, did God forget about Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel? Did God forget? Even though there were hundreds and hundreds of years in which they might have thought that God had forgotten. Did God forget about those people? He didn't forget. And God had an amazing plan. And that plan would be to come in and deliver his people. And what would that plan be many, many, many years later? What would that be? It would be a picture and a type of something that we could look at. Because one day there would be a redeemer, a deliverer that would come, and he would pay a penalty so that we could have our freedom of eternal life as well. What I want to do this morning is I want to go through very, very briefly, I want to go through some highlights of this story to see about freedom, some aspects of freedom that applied to the people back then, that to this Jewish group of people, the Israelites, that applied to them. I want us to see that it applied to our nation many, many years ago, and we see the deliverance of our nation, but I most importantly want us to look this morning at some points of freedom that greatly affect us today. And I hope it will be a blessing to you as we go through and see some points in Exodus chapter 12. First of all, I want you to look at the first three verses of this chapter. Exodus chapter 12, and I took my marker out of Exodus 12, so let me get there really quickly. But let's look at Exodus chapter 12, and let's see these verses. Let's look at verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay, Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 3. Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The first thing I want to see is freedom means demand. Freedom means demand. Demand. There was a demand, and it would be a cost of life. There was a cost of life. You know, any time that there is freedom, there has been a demand, or there has been a cost to life. In this case, there was a loss of life for a lamb, a young lamb, and God gave the prescriptions. You know, and say, was that big of a deal, you know, Pastor, that we look at this sacrifice? Yes, because remember, that would be symbolic of something that would happen in the future. And yet, as we look at this, there was a demand. God said that there would be a lamb that was killed. And what do we know about that lamb? Why would that lamb need to be killed? Well, we look at the word sacrifice, right? There was a sacrifice. And a lamb was given so that these people could have life. Without that blood on the doorposts of those homes, without that blood, what would happen to the firstborn of every home? No matter who you were, without the blood, there would be death. Now, isn't that sort of ironic to think that death or that death would be very key to providing life when there would be death? Again, it was automatic that death would happen. And as we read a little bit later, did the people go through death that did not obey God's instructions? There was death. In fact, it said in every home that didn't obey, there was death. So in the homes that there wasn't death, it makes sense that we call that there was life, right? Life in every home that obeyed. But in that home proceeded death. They went out, they killed a lamb. They killed a lamb, they took the blood, they put it over the doorpost, and that death meant life. That was very key for those people back then. There was a demand placed upon life with death. Within that death, these people were provided freedom. Fast forward many, many, many years. The Bible teaches us in His Word that we are all sinners. Every one of us is deserving of death. Death is imminent. Death is sure to come. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Upon every single person that has ever been born, death is going to come. And why is that? Because we have sinned, right? Every human on the face of this earth, except for Jesus Christ, has sinned. We've transgressed the law. We've gone against God. We've done our own thing. And because of that, there is imminent death. And none of us know when we're going to die. When that time comes, we will face death, except for the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Doesn't that sound like this story in Exodus chapter 12? It's founded upon what? Belief, faith in what God had said. God said, this is going to happen, and you deserve this. But if you do this, then you will prevent death, and you can have life. Well, what an amazing story that in Jesus Christ's time that he came to this earth and he died for you, Skip. He died for you, Billy. He died for you, Elizabeth. He died for us. He died for every single one of us so that we could have life. Are you thankful for the demand? I tell you, I am so grateful that's God's plan. Because I will say this, when I look at this story of the Exodus deliverance, when I look at the story of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, when I look at the story of America, and I see the lives of the men and women that gave themselves for our country, that we can enjoy the liberties that we have today, I want to say something. In a very unique way, I'm thankful for the death. Because in the death, in the demand, it brings freedom. I ask you today, are you grateful for that demand? I'm grateful today for what God has done. I'm grateful for our country that people were willing to go. I'm grateful for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross so that I can have eternal life. We look at this demand and we can be thankful. I say that we're thankful as a country, as Christians, we're thankful for the demand that was given because demand, freedom means demand. Demand brings freedom. Let's look at another thing. I want you to go down to verse 12. Go down to verse 12. We see in this verse, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah." Wow. We see, second of all, not only does freedom mean demand, cost of life, but freedom means defeat. We don't like to look at defeat as a good thing, do we? When we look back at the story, there was an enemy. It was the Egyptians. These people were outright against God. I want to ask you a question. Had God given Pharaoh and the Egyptians plenty of opportunities to follow him? Had God shown himself very strong to even Pharaoh himself? He did. He showed himself and he gave Pharaoh the opportunity. I mean, Pharaoh at the end of so many times, I mean, Pharaoh's conclusion at the end of many of these plagues was what? He's God. Listen, do it. Go ahead and go. But then Pharaoh had a little bit of time to think in his own life. By the way, can I take a time out and tell you that when we look and see truth, take that and live by that. Don't take the time to go back and do a lot of thinking, because when we go back home and we do a lot of thinking about our own lives and what in our own ways, it usually takes us away from God. And that's a dangerous thing that we have opportunity to do. And the safest thing that we can do is focus on truth. Had God's truth shown up to Pharaoh many, many, many times? It did. Truth had hit Pharaoh square in the face and said, here's the truth, and you have the opportunity to do right. And many times in the story, I'm reminded that Pharaoh, when in the midst of all this, he recognized the truth and he said, okay. But he always went back home and he always went and sat in his chair. I don't know what exactly he did, but he got back home and he had a little bit of time to think. But his thoughts were not on truth, and his thoughts were not on God. His thoughts were on his own self. His thoughts were on the things that he had and on the things that he could have these people do. His thoughts were selfish, and his thoughts were proud. His thoughts were not for God. And his conclusion when he sat at home thinking that way was always then to go back and do what met his needs. It doesn't matter about God. It doesn't matter about this situation. I have this need. And so, no, I will not let you go. And every single time he made that decision, and of course it would be destructive for him. God gave them opportunity and they would not do it. And because of that, God brought defeat. You know, we look at defeat as something that very negative, but you know, we can praise the Lord for the defeat of the enemy. You know, I'm very sure that the people were very thankful. You know, fast forward just a little bit of time. The people are released from Egypt and they flee and they go and they encamp. And of course, they get ready to cross the great body of water. And they look behind them and they see Pharaoh and the Egyptian soldiers coming after them. And then God miraculously parts the sea, and they're able to go across the sea on dry ground. They get to the other side while they're watching Pharaoh and the chariots and the horses go into the sea, and we watch the waves come, the water come down upon them and destroy all of them. At the end of that, we read what? I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Right? That's the song that they sang. That Moses and Aaron and Miriam, as they led that song, that people are celebrating and rejoicing. Is it because they were so excited about death? Is it so excited about seeing these people defeated? No, there's nothing good about death. There's nothing good about defeat that way. But folks, that defeat meant their freedom. You know, people probably think that we're twisted, that we celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. Fast forward this story in Egypt and go to the cross of Jesus Christ. Are we glad about the death of Jesus Christ? Now, careful how you answer that, because you can answer it both ways. Can I put it this way? Was the death of Jesus tragic in one sense? The answer is yes. It was tragic. And we don't necessarily celebrate that death. But on another note, are we thankful for that death? Where would we be without that death? Wow. We would be lost. God's word is very clear. There is demand. There is defeat. Defeat of the enemy. I'm so glad, though, that when Jesus went to the cross, the defeat wasn't Jesus. The defeat was the devil. The defeat was sin. The defeat was hell. The defeat was that burden that I'm delivered from, folks. Understand that it's a twisted way to think that there was defeat with Jesus' death. No, there was victory. To any freedom, there will be defeat. To any freedom, there is going to be defeat of the enemy. But folks, can I tell you that that's a reason to celebrate today? That the enemy has been defeated. Aren't you thankful that sin and death have been defeated, destroyed? That they have no more dominion over you? That you don't have to sin? That you don't have to be under the bondage of sin and its priority in your life, that you don't have to say yes to the devil and you don't have to go to hell forever. You have been given victory through this defeat. Wow, kind of an interesting way to look at this. Freedom means demand. Freedom means defeat. And we can be thankful. We can be thankful for our country in a sense. Don't take it too far. We do celebrate lives. We love life. But folks, I will tell you that it had not been for that defeat, there would not be victory. And you and I are benefactors of that defeat for our country. But can I say for more so than that, we are free from sin and death and devil. Praise God. That freedom means defeat. Freedom means dependence. Freedom means dependence. Let's go. I don't know if we have time to look at verses 4 to 11. Look at those verses just for a moment. You saw in these verses, and then in verses 21 and 22, go ahead and scan over these verses. Someone tell me, what's the focus on verses 4 to 11? What do we see here? We see instruction. Do you see the instruction, right? We see instruction, detailed instruction about what to do with the lamb. What to do with the body that's there? What to do with it? How to cook it? What to do with the rest and destroy the rest? Then we go down to verses 21 and 22. Look at these. He's telling us about the instructions. You shall eat nothing. Well, that's 20. And Moses, he tells them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel. So he gives them a bunch of instructions. Question. What if these people would not have done what God had told them to do? What if these people would have decided to do their own thing? Well, God will take care of this. What if they wouldn't have killed the lamb the way that they did? What if they wouldn't have partaken of the right lamb? What if they would have done their own thing? Listen, I don't want to, I've got a pretty door front here. I don't want to mess up this door with blood. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to put it here. What if they would not have done what God had prescribed for them to do? What would have happened? Death, right? It would have been death because it would have been disobedient. By the way, any time that we disobey, it brings death. Death to something. Death to something. There's always death associated with disobedience. And what was required of these people? They heard this story. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. And honestly, if you think about it, isn't it a little bit of an odd story? If you think about this story, if I told you this morning, and I'm not putting myself in place of God, nor am I putting myself in place of Moses, but if I were to tell you, folks, I want you to go home, God has spoken to me, and it wouldn't happen this way because God just doesn't speak to me through the Word of God. By the way, there's another good teaching point. Do you know that God does not speak to us aside from His finished Word? With the help of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that there's no new revelation coming out today aside from God's truth that's already been given to us? And I tell you that because don't ever pay attention to anything or any religion or any website that's out there that adds to God's Word and giving you new truth that is not given in the Word of God because it's wrong. Okay? God's Word is finished and complete, and He's got everything for us in this book. There's no new revelation. There's not going to be some prophet that has something new and extra to add on to the Word of God. It will happen, but that's not truth. God's Word God has finished His truth to us, and what He says is true. What He says is true, and yet it's detailed. And what we ought to do is take the finished truth and obey it. If I were to tell you today that if you don't, and I'm just making up a story because we have the finished truth, but if I were to tell you today, I want you to go home and your lives will be spared if you go home and kill an animal and you put blood over your doorway, what would you think about me? You would think that it was crazy, right? Now, folks, we've got the finished word. We can look back at it and say, that was good. I can understand that. Folks, honestly, was this something that they had to depend upon God to do? I mean, Moses says, go home, kill a lamb. I want you to put the blood over, do this, and here's how you cook it. Don't eat this, don't do that. Get ready, put your shoes on, get ready to go. And then at the right time, I want you to eat the food. When you're done, make sure you burn the rest. What would we have a tendency to do with all those instructions? Come on. This is ridiculous. This is crazy. And they would have been tempted to do what? I'm not doing that. I will not do that. And what would have been the result? Death. When we talk about freedom, and by the way, there would not have been freedom for them if they would not have done it. Can I tell you that freedom means dependence? Every time there's freedom, somebody must depend on someone to free them. There's always a dependence of this matter. Now, the people wanted their independence, but in their independence, they had to depend upon the plan of their leaders. In this case, they had to follow Moses. I trust that God spoke to Moses and to us, and for that, we're going to follow. And the Bible says, for everyone that followed, they received freedom. They received life. For everyone that did not follow the leadership, they did not get that freedom, and there was death. The same thing is true with a country and with people and a land. When the people followed, then there was life. Now, again, I understand that there was some death, but for the country, there was life. But can I tell you, for us as Christians, folks, that when we follow God's precise instructions, He brings to us life. And I'm so glad that even the instructions for that life, simply just dependence. It's dependence. I don't have to do anything to get eternal life, and I don't need to do anything to keep it. And that's a blessing. I get eternal life if I depend. And these people depended, and our forefathers depended, and the people of America depended, and we as Christians depend on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Freedom means dependence. God had a plan for Israel, God had a plan for America, and God has a plan for our salvation. Freedom means dependence. We move on. Look at verse 13 and then to verse 23. Verse 13, if we go back, we see this next item. Freedom means deliverance. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That had to have been good news. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Then down to verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and I will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Does that sound like good news, folks? You see, also, freedom means deliverance. Freedom means deliverance. Did it happen with these folks? When they obeyed God, did they receive deliverance? We read about it here. These people followed God and they were delivered. Freedom always brings with it deliverance. I like what Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 says for the Christian. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. And that life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Folks, there was deliverance a long time ago for these Egyptians, or for these Israelites. There was freedom, and they were excited about it, and they were released. They were released from their bondage, and they were good to go, and they would never become in bondage of the Egyptians again, and we praise the Lord for it. There was a group of people back in America that were under the same bondage, and yet there was a deliverance a long time ago, and we celebrate that today. But there was also a time for deliverance for those that would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we have become free. Freedom means deliverance. In review, freedom means demand. Freedom means defeat. Yet freedom means dependence. Freedom means deliverance. And can I suggest to you this morning that freedom means demonstration? Another word for that would be celebration. Celebration of what God has or had done. Look at verse 14 of chapter 12. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Down to verse 26, 27, and 28. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye this by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. Folks, there was a reason to celebrate for these people, and they did. In fact, it wasn't just an excuse. Yes, I know we in our lives, we look for any excuse to celebrate. But folks, I love this because God wants us to celebrate. There are many believers today that think that celebration is wrong and it's taking the focus off of the Lord. Folks, celebration is putting the focus on the Lord. Now, can we celebrate wrongly? Can we celebrate by putting the focus on wrong things? Absolutely. But folks, make no mistake. When God delivers, He wants there to be celebration. He wants us to remember. It is, everyone listen to this, it is a godly thing to celebrate what he does for us. It's a godly thing to celebrate his birth. It's a godly thing to celebrate his death and resurrection. And it's a godly thing to celebrate his deliverance. It's a godly thing to celebrate the deliverance for Israel. It's a godly thing to celebrate our nation's deliverance. It's a godly thing to celebrate our personal freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. It's a godly thing to celebrate. It's a godly thing to do this today and recognize and demonstrate the freedoms that we enjoy. We don't have a responsibility because we're not Jewish people to celebrate Passover, but I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to look back to. We have a responsibility to celebrate the freedom that God has given our country, because I would say this, we live in the most privileged place on earth. And I know that every country is probably very loyal to their place, and I'm loyal to mine. Have you ever stopped and thought, what would my life be like if I had been born somewhere else? I know some of you were born in different places. But I tell you what, every time I think about it, I almost feel bad because I'm thinking, boy, there are a lot of people that don't have what I have. But to this very day, I'm grateful. And folks, can I tell you, I believe with all of my heart that there's a godly reason to celebrate. To celebrate the freedom of the Jewish people, to celebrate the freedom of our country, and to celebrate the freedom as a Christian. What a wonderful day to do it. Today, don't feel bad about something you're doing. Should we be doing this? Are we just looking for another excuse to eat a burger and a hot dog? Or do we have a good reason? Because God said, no, I want you. Remember what I have done. And when somebody asks you today, why are you here? Oh, I'm here because of freedom. I'm here because of what God has done for me. Father, today we take no apologies in our celebration. We take no apologies in the opportunity to get together and to have a great time, to be together, to eat food. And that was a part of your celebration back then. We make no apologies to get together and have a festive time because that's what you want. And Lord, today, may we not focus on the food. May we not focus on the music. May we not focus on the flag. May we not focus on the elements of this, but may we focus on you because you are the author of freedom. God, thank you so much for what you've given to us today. Lord, we take it a wonderful opportunity to celebrate what you've done for us. So God, thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.